Hey, Aristo here, George Mason University. I'm here with Naomi Hart from Loughborough University in the UK, and we're going to discuss an article titled The If, Why, and How of Fitness Testing in Secondary School Physical Education in the UK. It was published in the European Physical Education Review, and you can find the full citation of this article in the notes, as always. Naomi, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Aristo. It's great to talk to you today. Thank you for inviting me to discuss the first publication from my PhD research, The If, Why and How of Fitness Testing, which I worked on alongside my supervisory team, Lorraine Cale and Chris Spray from Loughborough University in the UK and Laura Alfrey from Monash University in Australia.
So I'm wondering, as we get into this podcast, can you start by explaining what health-related learning is and give us an overview of how that content is positioned in the PE curriculum within the United Kingdom?
So health-related learning includes the teaching of knowledge and understanding, physical competence and behavioural skills, and the fostering of positive attitudes and confidence towards physical activity that will, in turn, hopefully encourage and facilitate current and lifelong participation in physical activity. How health is positioned in the PE curriculum varies between the four home nations. Within the National Curriculum of Physical Education in England, ensuring that all pupils lead healthy, active lives represents one of the four aims of the subject, and health also features in the overarching purpose of study. Health also features explicitly within the National Curriculum in Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland.
So you have these terms, fitness for life and fitness for performance in teachers' practice in PE. What's the difference between the two and how is it connected to fitness testing?
So these two terms were first introduced by Harris and Leggett in 2015 to describe the discourses surrounding teachers' expression and enactment of health in five schools in England and Wales. Through interviews with the teachers and analysis of health-related documents in the schools, they found although teachers adopted a fitness for life philosophy, concerned with promoting physical activity to retain and enhance health, they generally enacted a fitness for performance philosophy in practice. So, for example, teaching health in reductive, performance-focused ways and emphasising measurable outcomes. Fitness testing and circuit training were common examples of this then and still are today.
And I think if you walk into a lot of PE places, you will see fitness testing and circuit training. So what do we have research-wise on fitness testing? What do we know, and what are the reasons for including fitness testing in PE, and what are the downsides?
So fitness testing in PE has been researched for many years by scholars across the globe. The role and place of fitness testing has been debated, and survey research has investigated the prevalence of the practice and teachers' knowledge and attitudes towards testing. More recently, the pedagogy surrounding how fitness testing is implemented in the curriculum has been considered. For example, in Australia, Laura Alfrey has explored teachers' perspectives of fitness testing, and more recently has worked with students to hear their voices surrounding their experiences of fitness testing. In the UK, 12 years ago now, Cale Harris and Shen also explored teachers' views and approaches to fitness monitoring. Reasons advocated for including fitness testing in PE include that it can aid in assisting, monitoring and improving fitness. It can serve as a form of formative assessment, for example, goal setting, and it can promote physical activity. However, others have raised concerns that the practice can be a negative, embarrassing and demotivating experience for some pupils, particularly for the least healthy and active. The learning surrounding fitness testing has also been questioned, with some scholars reporting that students do not understand the meaning or purpose of fitness testing.
So before I go into the methods, I'm going to ask you my first off-script question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we know what the research says.
Yeah. There's
pros and cons to fitness testing.
Yeah.
If I'm walking down the street and I meet you, I understand that you're doing this study on fitness testing. What is your opinion on fitness testing?
So before I started the PhD, I was a teacher, but I taught psychology, so I'd never taught PE. And at school, when I was a student, I never did GCSE PE. And actually, my experience of core PE, so PE up until examination PE, we never did fitness testing. So I actually had no experience of being part of fitness testing lessons as a student or teaching it. So I came from a completely kind of objective position into the PhD, didn't really know that much about fitness testing. After reading it, and then where I am now, I think it can be done, but we need to consider how it's done and what's the learning intentions behind it.
Yeah. I think it's a very balanced view, and that is, like, there are people who thrive in that environment.
Yeah.
There are people who have their worst experiences in school during fitness testing. So it is definitely a fine balance. And it's also like, why are we doing it?
Yeah.
Or are we just doing it because that's what everybody's always done and we just continue doing it? We had a person in charge of physical education at the state level here. And one of the things that threw me for a loop was this person told me, like, we fitness test all the time as adults. You have your heart rate monitor on your wrist. You check your, like, you know, heart rate variability. You check your pulse when you're running. You run a certain route and then you see if you've improved. You time yourself. You do half marathons or 5Ks. And people who are active, physically active, they fitness test all the time, informally, but also it's very important to them. Like, people who go to the gym and try to increase the weight that they can bench press or clean or squat, all of those are mini fitness tests, and that we kind of are checking in on. And she goes, why shouldn't we do that fitness testing in schools? And that argument for that specific area, it did, you know, take me aback a little bit and go, yeah, I can see that. But I also think that's also almost always done in private. I do not share my score with you. I don't post it somewhere visibly for people to see. Or if I don't squat what I needed to squat, the only person who knows it is my training partner who's spotting me.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right, you're off the hot seat. I'll ask you about your methods. This was a mixed methods study. Can you tell me what you did overall?
Yeah, so an online survey was developed, and that was to explore the prevalence of fitness testing and fitness testing practices in PE departments and secondary schools in the UK, as well as PE teachers' attitudes of fitness testing. So some of the questions were designed for the purpose of the survey, and some were informed by previous surveys. The survey contained mostly closed questions, but also some open-ended questions, with the latter giving teachers the opportunity to describe their learning intentions, practices, and their reasoning behind fitness testing. Further Likert-type scales were included to measure teachers' attitudes towards different aspects of fitness testing, including, for example, the extent to which teachers agreed or disagreed with the following statement. So fitness testing should be part of the PE curriculum in all schools. This survey was then sent out to 4,000 PE teachers in secondary schools across the UK. Contact email addresses were obtained via a school's web directory link. And in total, 260 responses to the survey were obtained, representing an overall response rate of 6%. And the descriptive statistics were used to analyse quantitative data, and inductive thematic analysis was conducted to analyse the qualitative data.
So when we talk about your findings and discussion, what did you find regarding the inclusion of fitness testing in the PE curriculum in the UK? And if we look at your paper title, this would be the if in your paper.
So 80% of PE teachers reported that their department included fitness testing in their PE curriculum. Behind circuit training, which was included in 96% of PE departments, fitness testing was identified as the second most common P for health practice. So regarding core PE, fitness testing was most prevalent with year 7 students. So that was 58% of teachers reported, including that. And year 7 students are aged 11 to 12. And then there was a decrease in fitness testing with older students, so aged 14 to 16 in years 10 and 11 core PE. And that was 29% and 23% for the year 11s. And then fitness testing was the most frequently covered in GCSE examination PE, and that was 74% of teachers reported including it.
And for people outside of the UK, can you explain the difference between core PE and GCSE examination PE? Like what's the age range? Because you said fitness testing was most frequently covered in the GCSE examination PE. So are those older students who are in high school about to go to university, or how does that work?
Yeah, so core PE is statutory PE, so we all have to take part in that PE, and that's from year 7 through to year 11, so aged 11 through to 16, and they normally have 2 hours of PE a week, so that's kind of norm. And then examination PE is students who choose to opt to take part in examination PE. So that's on top of the core PE, and that's from years 9, so students who are 13 through to year 11, so age 16. Need to just check the year 9 bit.
Okay. So can somebody opt into GCSE PE and not do core PE? Do they overlap at all?
Yes, yeah, so all students have to do core PE.
Oh, and then in addition, you could do...
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So a student, for example, could be in year 9 and they'd be doing core PE, and then they can opt to do GCSE PE.
Okay, got it. Okay, so what are the main reasons that teachers presented for agreeing or disagreeing with the inclusion of fitness testing in PE?
So one of the most frequently cited reasons PE teachers gave in support of fitness testing was that it could teach students about the components of fitness and or how to monitor their fitness. And this was also the most common response when teachers were asked what learning intentions were behind fitness testing lessons. Teachers who agreed that fitness testing should be part of the PE curriculum in all schools typically provided educational reasons, but which were reflective of a performance outcomes-based discourse. So these ranged from the need to fitness testing to set students into ability groups in PE, to making students aware of their fitness test levels, and or to enable them to compare their scores against others. Teachers who disagreed or were uncertain about the inclusion of fitness testing in PE typically referred to potentially negative psychological student outcomes from testing. For example, teachers commented that fitness testing could have adverse effects on students' mental well-being, self-esteem, and motivation to participate in physical activity. They also referred to lesson time being better used and there being more important things to cover in PE.
So some of the reasons mentioned by teachers in your study for implementing fitness testing in the curriculum can obviously be seen through different perspectives. Like, for example, even though fitness testing does provide a way of teaching about the components of fitness, there are other ways to teach these components that might be more enjoyable than running a beep test or doing a number of set push-ups to a cadence. So can you expand on this and provide a few more examples of what was found in your research that contrasts with previous research?
So as I previously mentioned, knowing the components of fitness and how to measure these was the most common learning intention that teachers offered for their fitness testing lessons. And this wasn't surprising considering components of fitness feature in PE examination syllabi and specifications in England. However, like you say, there are many other ways to teach about these components that might be more enjoyable and meaningful for students. For example, related to fitness testing, students could set up the tests and choose how they wish to participate in them, for example, with peers or self-testing. A small number of teachers refer to evaluating fitness tests and/or tests with students as a learning intention underpinning fitness testing lessons. Encouraging pupils to adopt a critical approach to fitness testing would be a valuable exercise and discussion point to have with students, given the limitations we know there are with field-based fitness tests and the many factors which influence test scores. Whilst just under a quarter of respondents refer to fitness testing being employed for the purpose of promoting healthy active lifestyles, in previous research, this has been one of the key reasons often advocated for testing. For example, Lorraine Kale survey in 2014. Equally though, lessons on the components of fitness need not include fitness testing at all. For example, previously, Lorraine Kale and Joe Harris have designed student task cards related to fitness education and monitoring fitness that PE teachers could share with students in a fitness education lesson. The task cards include students completing different activities, for example, skipping for 60 seconds, and then identifying which fitness component and main muscles are linked to that activity. Again, this could be completed individually, in pairs or small groups, rather than as a whole class.
And that obviously would bring down the pressure of performance, and you still have the educational component with that. So we've discussed the if and the why of fitness testing. Can you give us an overview of how fitness testing is carried out in the UK?
So the survey revealed varied pedagogical practices to be employed by PE departments when fitness testing. So approximately half of departments indicated that they taught fitness testing as part of a broader unit of work, for example, on health-related fitness, typically lasting between 6 to 8 lessons. Over a quarter of teachers reported fitness testing to be performed as a whole class activity, and fewer than half of teachers reported that they gave students choice as to which fitness test they performed. The majority of teachers reported that they compared the students' fitness test results against non-referenced health standards, whilst only a very small percentage compared them against criterion standards. Over half of the teachers reported that they gave students feedback on their fitness test results, meaning a number of students received no feedback on their results. And the majority reported that the department did not provide feedback to parents or guardians on fitness test results. Some of these pedagogical practices are contrary to the recommendations that have been proposed by researchers and professional associations. That said, we found 2/3 of teachers disagreed or were uncertain as to whether they were aware of any such fitness testing recommendations.
Yeah, that's interesting because they're saying that they don't know the recommendations. The recommendations are out there, especially this idea between norm referenced and criterion reference standards. So for, you know, norm reference standards being like you're compared, let's say there's 100 people who run professional marathons and they're still ranked 1 to 100, even though all of them are, you know, running around 2 hours, versus criterion, meaning you just have to pass at this level and every person can be at criterion. Like in the US, the criterion standard is the fitness gram, versus we used to have this presidential fitness test that was like, if you hit the top 10% in your group, then you get this medal or you get this award. Well, what if everybody is, you know, on the cross country team, or they're on track and field and they're long distance runners, then even if you're really healthy and run and you just hit the 11th percentile, if you're just in a different school, you might be the first. It is interesting that there's so much that we do in higher education, or that people do in state associations or national associations, that try to get this information out, and then it just, they don't hear about it or they don't know. So it's frustrating, I guess. So I guess as we wrap this up, can you share some of the suggestions and recommendations for future research and practice to support teachers in reflecting on what you're talking about here, the if, why and how of fitness testing in PE?
So a notable finding for us was that 87% of teachers who were uncertain agreed or strongly agreed that fitness testing can have a negative impact on students' psychological health, indicated earlier in the survey that they included fitness testing at some stage and within core PE, i.e. that fitness testing was not part of an exam syllabus, but they still chose to implement it. And this raises the question as to why so many departments choose to implement the practice beyond examination classes when they feel there may be negative consequences for students in doing so. Alfrey and Gard touched on this in 2014, but we recommend future research should more fully understand teachers' experiences, attitudes, and the factors which influence their decision-making with regards to fitness testing. We also think consideration should be given to the limited number of PE teachers who were reportedly aware of current recommendations surrounding fitness testing, and that research should explore the reasons for this. Raising PE teachers' awareness of fitness testing recommendations and supporting and encouraging them to reflect on the if, why, and how of fitness testing in PE through initial teacher education and CPD would seem to be needed. A starting point could be sharing and discussing this paper.
So where do you go from here? What's your, you listed some really interesting and important things to talk about. Like there's a lot of PE teachers that think this could cause psychological harm and it could have a negative impact, but yet they still conduct this even though they don't have to. And I think that those are really important groups to study and to dive deeper on that. Do you have plans on moving forward with any future research yourself on these topics?
So my research for my PhD has, after this has gone on, to look at students' experiences of fitness testing, because there was a gap there in the research. So we wanted to follow up if teachers were reporting that they were aware that students might be experiencing, negative psychological outcomes. We wanted to ask the students themselves. So that initially was done through in-the-moment fitness testing lessons across a number of schools. And then later on, we actually spoke to students in two schools. So that was in focus groups. That's probably, well, it is enough for the PhD, but I think after that, there definitely is definitely a need for to go back to the teachers and actually explore, like you were saying in this paper, why there seems to be a bit of a mismatch between what teachers are reporting and then how that doesn't match them with the recommendations, and actually how can we go about trying to get the recommendations like across the teachers in a better way for them.
Yeah, I've done some of those focus groups with students and sat down and asked them about fitness testing. And it is fascinating to get, seventh and eighth graders to sit there and be honest. They kind of look around the shoulder like, you want me to tell you what I really feel when the teacher's not here? My teacher's not going to hear this. I'm like, nope, bring it on. And it's fascinating that you just let them open up and talk about how, again, in certain ways, if it's done very well, it can be educational, but often how it's delivered is just like so meaningless. They have no understanding of why they need to do it. The attitudes towards it are so negative for the majority. I think that's an awesome pathway to see both the students' points of view and then continue on with kind of digging deeper into why this is all happening.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming on. I think you've put a lot of good ideas to think about. I did add in the podcast notes the article you talked about, Alfrey's article about secondary students toward fitness testing. And I think Kevin Richards also did a going behind the research with Laura about this content. So I think you have great points, and this is an awesome dissertation, PhD study for you, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Issei.
So for those of you who want to read the full article, you can check out the full citation in the comments section. And that's all we got. I also want to thank Alba Rodriguez for her work in producing the podcast. And unlucky for me, but lucky for her, she's also going to be graduating. So I'm going to lose my help on this podcast from Alba because she's going to have a doctorate and she doesn't need to help produce a podcast anymore. So thanks everybody for listening, and thanks Naomi for coming on.
Thank you.